So this morning, this difficult text, which is so important for every Christian to truly understand, because if you understand this text, you might be tormented a little bit, but if you don't understand it, you're going to be tormented a whole lot. Amen?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Friday and happy Independence Day. Today is America's celebration of the birth of the United States of America as an independent nation. What an honor it is to be an American and live in this great nation. Amen? Today, we celebrate living in a nation where the Word of God can be declared freely, and we're thankful that we are unrestricted in bringing sound teaching from the Word of God to you today. So, with that being said, let's join Pastor Bill as his study from the book of 1 John continues with the message, Real Children of God, Part 2.
Amen. You know, John the Apostle, what a great man of God. What I like about John is, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but when you get older, people that are a little older, you'll probably identify, you kind of just say it like it is. When you get older, you just kind of just say it like it is because you just, hey, that's the way it is. I don't need to put butter on it and spread it out thin and soften it. Amen? So when John, when he talks, there's no neutral ground with John. He's an old apostle. He knows the Lord intimately. He's the last one that was ever with the Lord God in the flesh. Amen. Watched him ascend, worked with him for three and a half years. And he says that you're either in light or you're in darkness. You're either walking as he walked or you're not walking as he walked. So this morning, this difficult text, which is so important for every Christian to truly understand, because if you understand this text, you might be tormented a little bit, but if you don't understand it, you're going to be tormented a whole lot. Amen? And it's important that you see that. So this is Real Children of God, Part 2 from last Sunday. Remember the theme of John, 1 John 5:20, that we know him who is real. We're in him who is real. And we've already studied real fellowship, real love, and how to walk in the light and all the rest of those things. Last Sunday, we learned who we are. We also learned what we shall be, and we learn what we should be until he appears. Amen? In other words, we are, like it says in what, chapter 3, verse 3, let me just read it to you. Everyone who has this hope in him, meaning of Christ appearing, coming for us, purifies himself. So, man, our hope is when Jesus comes, we're going to see him and we're going to be like him. Amen? And we're going to purify ourselves now until he comes, meaning live a pure life until he arrives. Remember last Sunday, I learned a new word. I don't know if I can pronounce it correctly or not, but it doesn't matter. I don't pronounce anything correctly anyway. And that, what is it? Pura? Vida. Pura? Is that it? It's close enough. Vida. Pure life. Amen? Now listen, we learned all those things, and we learned that we can't purify ourselves. Amen? But the fact of the matter is we have the perfect example that we can follow after, and also we have the power of another living in us. Amen? Colossians 3:18, we're going from glory to glory, being conformed to the image of Christ by the Holy Spirit that's working in us. Amen? We know to walk in the light or walk in the light as he is in the light. If we say we abide in him, we walk as he walked and so forth. Now, with all that being said, this morning as we look to the second part of our message, again, John, the apostle of love, what a great man. He's direct. He doesn't water anything down, thank God. He doesn't soften anything for us. There's no debate here. There's not any tolerance. But there is one thing for sure. There is clear truth spoken in love. Amen? Now listen very carefully. Our Father, is he faithful? Man. God is faithful to his promises to all of us who believe. Amen? But did you know that God is also faithful to his promises to those who do not believe? Amen? Let me give you a scripture. Jesus said in John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. That's a promise. Amen? Well, here's another promise from God. And he who does not believe in the Son, you will never see life. Think about that. Wow. But the wrath of God abideth upon you. So this morning, in this second part of the message, we're going to look at what sin is. We're going to look what sin does and how sin arrived upon this planet and also how sin is conquered, okay? Now, let's look first of all in verse 4 this morning, what sin is. John writes and he says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. If you study out the Word of God, you'll find that there's always more than one definition of sin in the New Testament. Matter of fact, there are several. We can look at Romans 14, 23. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. What a word is that? How about James 4, 17? He that knoweth to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. 1 John 5, 17, when we get to the last chapter, John writes, all unrighteousness is sin. And then here we have God's definition of sin again in verse 4. He says, sin is lawlessness. What a word. Now, I want you to catch this. All sin, not some sin. All sin, no matter if we put a degree on sin, well, like murder is worse than lying. You follow me? There's no degree here. Sin is sin, okay? And he says, no matter the description, he says, or the degree of the sin, the fact of the matter is all sin is lawlessness. What does that mean, lawlessness? It means that before we were born again, we didn't know we were lawless at all. We didn't even know what that word meant unless we were speeding. You know what I'm saying? But to be lawless means this. I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. No one tells me what to do. I live my life the way I think I should live it. I have my own set of rules, my own set of righteousness. I am free to act, think, and live any way I desire. That's lawlessness. No rules. Just do whatever you think. I make up my own rules. Loved one, sin is an act of disobedience against the known will of God. Amen? So we have to be careful. So you say, well, Bill, what is sin? Well, in the Greek, it's harmatia. And that word literally in the Greek just means to miss the mark, okay? So it's a picture, if you will. Let's say that there's a target behind me, like, you know, the bow and arrow, and you have a target with a bullseye. And so what it is, you pull back the bow and you let go of the arrow and you don't hit the bullseye, so you have missed the mark. It also means that you didn't make the goal. You didn't reach the goal that you wanted to reach, okay? So let's look at the Bible definition. It says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned, that's past tense, every person ever born, they have all miss the mark, it says. They've all sinned, and they fall short. They didn't reach the goal. They tried, but they didn't reach the goal of the glory of God, which is the end, which should be the end of our goal. Amen? Now, with all that being said, let's really try to picture this a different way. Let's play a new game. I created a new game, okay? This new game is called Jump. I heard it from Van Halen, okay? I didn't know who did that until somebody told me in the first service. I said, Jump, and she said, oh, it's Van Halen. I said, what? Now, here's the deal. Here's our game. We are going to jump, take turns jumping from the promised land all the way over into the wilderness. In other words, we're going to jump from Fort Worth all the way to Dallas. Amen? That's what we're going to do. Now, here's the deal. Some of us are better equipped than others, so some of us are going to out-jump people, all right? But every person, no matter how good you are, how strong you are, how young and athletic you are, how muscles or whatever, you may outjump others, but you're still going to fail because nobody can jump from the promised land to hell or Dallas. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Can they? No, so we all fall short. We all miss the mark. That's what that word sins mean. But listen, we have someone in us. We have the pure one. We have Jesus, our Lord. We are born from above. And now, because of that, Philippians 4:13, we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. Amen? So it's one thing to say what sin is. It's another thing to learn from the Word of God what sin does. And we have all experienced what sin does. You know, God says this about what sin does. You ready? It says in Romans 3:9, God says, all are under sin. The word under in Greek is a military word. It means under the authority of another. Every person born on this planet since Adam was born under the rule and reign of sin. Amen? All because of what Adam and Eve did there in the garden. And so the whole human race are under sin, under the power of sin. And the problem is, you're born that way. You don't know that you're fallen like that. And you want maybe to even do better even though you're not born again. But the fact of the matter is, you have no power in yourself to win over sin if you don't know Christ. Amen? So you're under sin. There's no escape. Now, when we talk about what sin does, maybe later today you could read Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 20, I believe it is, okay? And you're going to find in that text 14 horrible facts of what sin is and what sin does to the person. You know what? Let me just read it that way, you know, because I know some of you may not read it when you get home. It says in Romans 3:9, Paul the apostle says to everyone, he says to a charge to both Jews and Greeks, they are all under sin, all under the authority of sin, as this is written. You ready for what sin does? Here it is. There is none righteous, no, not one. Can you believe that? No one is righteous apart from Christ. It says, there is none who understands. There's no one that seeks after God. He says, they've all turned aside. They've all together become unprofitable. Now, you want to do a word study? Look up that word unprofitable. It doesn't just mean useless. It means it's a picture of a fruit that is rancid. It stinks. It's destroyed. You don't want anything to do with it. He says, there is none who does good. No, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. Oh, when's the, you got that on your refrigerator? Your throat is an open tomb. Every time you open your mouth, the smell and stench of death comes out. Oh, that, is that a horrible picture? Man, he says, oh, their tongues. Oh, they've practiced deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction, misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. I'm going to tell you, that is a horrible picture of what sin is and what sin does to an individual. No one seeks God. Amen? Is God a liar? No, no one seeks God. You know, Aquinas said this, man seeks the benefit of God while fleeing from the person of God. Boy, that's a true word. Do you know what we did because we were fallen before we came to Christ? You know what fallen man does? We didn't seek God. You know what we did? We saw whatever is false, we went after it. Amen? Because we were of the world. We thought like the world. Listen, we followed what was false. We trusted what was false. We built our life with what is false. We even defended what is false. And you know why? That's what sin does. And every member of the human race is born into sin and into death. And even as they grow up in this life, apart from Christ, they believe themselves to be a free individual. Because that is the only reality that they have ever experienced, because they are in Adam. And we know that sin and death was introduced into our world by one man, by Adam. Amen? And it says sin and death came. Now listen, man does not die today because of acts of sin. I mean, you can, of course, die from an act of sin by being crazy or out there and wrecking yourself or whatever. But what it means is that the reason we die is because of sin, because of Adam's sin. He's the federal head of the human race, if you will. Now, if you really think about sin, I mean, just dwell about it. You know, I mean, it's almost impossible, I believe it, no, it's totally impossible for me to even think or deny the existence of sin. For example, are all men liars? The Bible says everybody's lied. Amen? Think about that. That's a divine truth. From the time of Adam until this very moment, wherever you travel on this planet, to any country, any nation, any city, if man has been there, there was a lie that was told. Every person has lied. How much more information do we need? I mean, do you teach children how to lie? I mean, you think Thomas and Kaylee or Willa, come here, I want you to really impress Granddaddy. I want to teach you how to lie to him. Do you think that's, No, you teach your children how to tell the truth. Why? Because they're fallen. Their nature is fallen. And it's in them that for what Adam did lives in those who are not born again. Now, that's exactly what sin does. So a sinner is not a sinner because you sin. You sin because you are a sinner. Amen? That's what sin does. So look at verse 4 again now. Whoever, no matter who you are, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin, there's a definition, is lawlessness, that rebellion against God, that defiance against God. But I want you to make sure that you understand this verse. Amen? So it doesn't say whoever struggles with sin. It doesn't say about those who, oh God, I sinned and I need to repent. Commit is present tense, continuous. It's talking about not a single act of sin. It's talking about the individual who lives an ongoing, continuous, habitual life of sin and delights in sin, delights in lawlessness. Now, what did Jesus tell us about lawlessness? In Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, it's easy to say I'm a Christian, amen? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who doeth the will of God, my Father in heaven. Now he says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out devils in your name, done many wonderful works in your name? And then Jesus will declare unto them, I never knew you, meaning I know who you are. But there's no intimacy between you and me. We've not experienced one another. I never knew you. He says, depart from me, you who practice, that's an ongoing continuous, you who practice lawlessness, and lawlessness is sin. Amen? Jesus said in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things I say? Now, so real children of God, listen carefully, real children of God, they sin. Do you know that? They might not sin physically, but boy, up here, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's there. So what do we do if we sin? Well, we know it, and we confess our sin. 1 John 1:9, you know, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? So we repent of that. But those who say, yeah, I'm a believer. Man, I have a great Bible, do study Bibles, you know, all this kind of stuff. I'm a Christian. But they live an ongoing, continuous lifestyle of sin. They literally enjoy living in sin. They even know they are living in sin, and they continue to live in sin. They are comfortable in sin. They have never, according to the Word of God, been born from above. They only have the talk. They do not have the walk. What did John say earlier in 1 John 1:6? If we say we have fellowship with him, intimacy with him, it says, and walk in darkness, which is an ongoing, habitual lifestyle of sin. It says, we lie. Our words are a lie. Our life is a lie. It says, we lie, and the truth is not in us, meaning the truth, meaning Jesus. We're not born from above because we don't practice the truth of God's word. The new birth, as we all know, loved one, it's not validated by what comes out of our mouth, is it? No. It's proven by the way that we live in this world. Now, look at verse 5. Let's look at how sin was conquered. And you know, meaning the readers know, and every generation of Christians should know, and you know that Jesus was manifested, or he appeared, that was in his incarnation when Jesus became flesh, born of a virgin. He was manifested to do what? Take away our, plural, our sins. And in him, there is absolutely no sin. So real children of God, they know the purposes the purpose of Christ coming to this planet. Man, he came to take away our sins. The Father sent his only begotten Son. He loved the world so much into this world. He was born into this world, into a world filled with darkness, to take away our sins. Verse 5. You know, Luke told us in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save those that are lost. Amen. We know that Jesus said, I've come that you may have life, have it more abundantly. The devil comes, steal, kill, and destroy. We know that the angel said unto Joseph in Matthew 1:21, he said, you shall call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Hebrews 1:3, he himself, after he had purged, cleansed forever our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty upon high. Amen. So he has taken away our sins. And then in verse 8, in a moment, we're going to find out that he came to destroy the works of the devil. Now, Jesus did something that we could never do, that we were incapable of doing for ourselves. And that is, he took away all of our sins. I don't know how you feel about that, but that blesses me. I mean, they are gone. He has taken them away. Jesus declared on the cross in John 19:30, he says, it is finished. That word means the debt has been paid in full, completely, forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. 1 Peter 2:24, Jesus bore our sins on the tree. Not only that, he paid not our sin debt, but the sin debt of the world. John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That goes all the way back to Adam and all the way until he comes. He's paid for everything. Amen? Past, present, future. It's done. So the sinless Son of God, who knew no sin, he did something. He took your place. We know it very well. He took my place. He took the sinner's place on the cross. But he was without sin. Jesus said in John 10:14, he said, I am the good shepherd. The next verse he says, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The Bible tells us in Hebrews, I think it's 9:26, that by one sacrifice he took away the sins, our sins, forever and ever and ever and ever. One of my favorite verses that I share with you every communion service, Psalm 103:12. He has taken away our sins, so removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. Amen? They're gone. They don't belong to you anymore. He has paid our sin debt. Matter of fact, he's taken them away so far, God made a promise to every believer in Hebrews 10:17. He says, I will never remember your sins again. Oh, he knows about them. It literally means your sins will never be held against you again because my Son has paid for them. Amen? What a word that is. Listen, what does that mean? It means since Jesus was manifested to take away our sin and we are now in Christ, it means that our spiritual position right this minute in this world is absolutely perfect before God the Father. Absolutely perfect. Remember what it says that word means. In other words, when you come to Christ, remember that big word justification? Okay, that means 2 Corinthians 5:21. He, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin. What did he make him? Sin. Think about that. Sin. The one who knew no sin, God said, I'm pouring the sin of the world upon you. You're going to experience all of that. You're going to experience what sin is. You're going to experience what sin has done. You're going to pay the sin debt of the entire world. God says, I'm laying it on you, son. You're going to bear the sin of mankind. He, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, sin. God treated, you heard me say it so many times, God treated his only begotten son as if he had sinned all the sins of all mankind that was laid upon him. Why? That we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Meaning we are now in God's eyes. Our position is absolutely perfect. Why? Because of the great doctrine of justification.
Thank you for listening with us today. And on another note, today as you celebrate our glorious freedom, take a moment to thank the Lord for the privilege of being an American. to pray for our nation, and to ask Him to send a revival. Amen? Be safe, God bless, and happy 4th of July, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.